The thing of it is when you start a business, they tell you you're supposed to do a business plan. And to this day, I don't recommend it, but I don't believe in it yet at the same time, because business plans cut you down. They cut all the holes in it. They figure out what's wrong. And when you're starting something that's never been done before, I don't want to listen to it.
On this episode, we talk to Ashley Volbricht, who by day clocks in with corporate America and by night and weekends owns and operates a mobile fashion boutique that runs on pure turbo diesel. So buckle your seatbelts. Here we go.
You are listening to the Rebel Storytellers podcast.
Rebel Storytellers.
Candid conversations with dreamers, doers, and creative problem solvers.
Hosted by Brad Wise and Steve Fuller.
A wee podcast. Made in Cincinnati, Ohio.
So why don't you, Ashley, tell us about, where should we start?
The beginning.
The very beginning.
Okay, yeah. So I had graduated from IU with a degree in marketing, and I went to work for Kimberly-Clark. Very good company, has taught me a lot. But along the way, I always had a passion for fashion, but I didn't know what that meant exactly, and I didn't really know how to, I didn't know where it was going to lead me. I just knew that in the meantime, I'm working for Kimberly-Clark, and yes, down the road, I want to do something in that realm. I don't know how to get there. I don't know what it is. And about 3 years ago, I had first gotten an idea to start a grilled cheese truck, actually. And that's where it all kind of started. My friend and I, we were working at Kimberly-Clark, and we just thought, God, Mount Adams would totally kill it. All we need is bread, cheese, a little stand.
Butter.
Honestly, we called like the health department to find out like whatever it was. But then that kind of died, because at the end of the day, we really don't care about grilled cheese. But we thought it was a genius idea. And then I had been in L.A. for a wedding, and they had a fashion truck out there, but it was very bare bones and just kind of thrifty and very boring, I guess. But at the same time, I couldn't get the idea out of my head, because I just thought, that's so genius, like the things you could do with a truck.
So for people who have never seen a fashion truck, What was that first truck that you saw?
Like, it was a bread delivery truck. So think of like, you know, literally kind of like a milkman type delivery. And you could walk into it through the steps of the back of it. And it was all converted on the inside, but it wasn't done well. Like, it was kind of like cheap contract labor. It wasn't very shoppable, I guess is the right word. You couldn't fit a lot of merchandise in, and so it was kind of poorly designed. But the concept was there, clothing out of a truck.
So let's focus on this fascination with trucks. So it was a grilled cheese truck. Like, why? What is it about trucks that made you think this is an exciting thing?
Easy, probably. One, the fact nobody was really doing it a ton. Two, I couldn't just leave my job because I need health care. And I just, you know.
You don't get sick.
Not if I roll the dice.
Yeah. Vitamin C.
Yes. And it's a lot cheaper. Like, I didn't have to go all in with like a store, whatever it was. So.
Okay, so you see this truck out in L.A. It's not done well, but you come back to Kimberly-Clark and you can't get the idea out of your head? Is that what's going on?
Yes, exactly. It was the first idea that I felt like really stuck with me. Like, I get these ideas, but then they kind of fade away. And this was the one that was like, this is the money. This is it. And at that point, I'd worked for Casey for 5 years, and I'd saved a lot of my money. The number one thing I knew I wanted to do, and it was just like how I was raised, but like, you don't borrow money. Like, it's just, you know, credit cards, all of that. That's just not how I've been raised. So it presented an opportunity that was within my means to start it. And I wanted to have full control. I didn't want to have to talk to anybody, report into anybody, listen to someone else's say. I wanted this to be my baby. I work for corporate America. It's all about getting someone else's say. And I don't want to, the point was to have full control from beginning to end.
So grilled cheese wasn't it, but fashion was. So why fashion? Like, what about the fashion world felt more like it than just like a grilled cheese sandwich?
I'm good at it. I have an eye for it, honestly. I like, there's, I don't know, there's certain things that you aren't really confident about or not sure on yourself, but this has always been the one thing that I've never sought approval for or, you know, wanted someone's opinion, to be honest. I dress myself. I think I dress pretty well. I have a good eye. And
this part really struck me. Ashley knew in her gut that this was worth pursuing because it was the one thing that she never needed approval for. Do you have that? It made me wonder, do I have that? So if you want to press pause and chew on that for a while, I wouldn't be offended. Otherwise, back to Ashley.
You know, I wanted to go into fashion, but when I was 22, I was too young and I didn't know what I was doing. But by the time this idea had come around, I was really good at, like, talking with people and selling myself and selling ideas and just being comfortable in my own skin. So the timing of it was like magic. And then fashion, I always knew I wanted to do, but I didn't want to just be another retail boutique because the industry is boring and everyone buys on deal because they're not creative enough, in my opinion. And this was an opportunity to shake it up. I didn't have to leave my job. It felt like something that was new and cutting edge. It just felt like everything all like combined together. I was like, boom, this is it. We got to do this.
So you really felt like that there was just like you just got a feeling.
Yes.
Like it just felt like this is the thing.
Yeah. And like just what I brought to the table, where I was at in my life, the means to do it. It was just, literally a gut intuition. I was like, this is it.
So you have this gut intuition. Then mm-hmm. what? What was the next step where you're like, I'm doing it? Like, what did you start doing?
I know. The thing of it is when you start a business, they tell you you're supposed to do a business plan. And to this day, I don't recommend it, but I don't believe in it yet at the same time because business plans cut you down. They cut all the holes in it. They figure out what's wrong. And when you're starting something that's never been done before, I didn't want to listen to it, I guess, in a way. So with that said, the first thing that I had done was I literally had a sheet of paper and I just started thinking of all the things I was going to need. Insurance, a truck, a designer, need a logo, need a vendor's license. You know, I just literally put everything down. And anything I didn't know, I just started to Google it. Like, how do I get clothes? How do I get clothes wholesale? Like, I had no idea. I've never worked in a retail store. I don't have friends who really work in retail stores that are close. Like, I can't emphasize enough that just because you haven't done something before doesn't mean you're not good at it.
I believe there's someone listening right now or way into the future, like in 2017, who needs to hear that message again. So I quote, just because you haven't done something before doesn't mean you're not good at it. Preach it, girl. So back to the story. Ashley makes a list of what she needs, checks it twice, and then she starts looking for a truck.
I searched for 4 to 5 months on Craigslist for a truck. And I started my search locally thinking it'd be something super easy to find. Like, how hard is it to find a used truck? And eventually found one in Chicago, took it to a mechanic before I bought it. And it turned out there was like rats or something living in it and a whole bunch of other problems.
Yeah.
So the number one thing I learned was to, if you're not the expert, give it to an expert who can tell you if they would buy it and then go from there. So that got shot down. And then a week before Christmas, I had found one with no pictures in Owensboro, Kentucky, and it had a good price. And I emailed him, and everything lined up. I needed a certain size. I needed it to be automatic. I wanted a turbo diesel. I mean, it was all lined up. So my dad and I drove down, met him, gave him a down payment in cash. And then, like a couple weeks after Christmas, we went and got it for good and drove it home to Cincinnati.
And did you drive it home that very first? What was that like?
Scary. No, honestly, it was really scary. My dad drove behind. So he picked me up in Cincinnati, God bless his heart, from Chicago. And then we drove over to Owensboro. And then I drove the truck back. I'd never driven a truck before. You don't need a CDL, for at least the one I have. And honestly, the only thing I thought was I just don't want to kill somebody.
Like, and did
honestly,
you?
No, okay, I didn't. And good. Now it's like a lot easier. It's like anything. I'm telling you, first you learn to ride a bike, and probably when you're 6, the thought of driving a car seems insane. And then you drive a car, and the thought of driving this truck seems insane. But like, people do it. Like,
so you've got the truck. And then you start figuring out how to buy clothes?
Kind of the next big thing was I found my designer's, I didn't know it at the time, but I found a business card that I really liked in Duchess, and it said Michelle Pinellas, like interior designer, but I just really liked it. So I had emailed her, and long story short, she was like the magician that created the inside of it. But that was kind of going on at the same time. And there's a big trade show called Magic, which is in Las Vegas, and it's where anybody from a Nordstrom buyer all the way down to a little buyer goes. That was the turning point, I would say, was going to that show, because it's like going to the most insane mall of your life, and you having to go through thousands upon thousands of pieces of clothes.
That's my nightmare. I'm guessing you probably felt like everyone knew what they were doing, and you didn't.
Yeah.
So how did you calm yourself in a way to make it happen?
I walked into a booth that had a lot of people, because then I thought they wouldn't notice me, so they wouldn't talk to me. So then it would allow me to kind of look through and see how things were tagged and what it meant. And I eventually, yeah, I would be like, you know, how does an order work, an opening order, what do you need? And usually the requirements were so simple that it just, after the first booth or two, I was like, I had already had the hang of it. But going into that prior, you have no idea what you're doing.
So Ashley comes back to Cincinnati, she orders the clothes that she needs, and while those boxes sit in her apartment and in storage, she and Michelle, the designer, are pimping out their ride. They turn it from a dirty old bread truck into a Beverly Hills-esque boutique in 6 weeks, just in time for her debut.
I was opening at City Flea on, I think, I can't remember the day, but it was in June, and the wrap was getting done until 2 a.m., on that Friday night. So that left me from 2 to 7 a.m. to stock the truck with all of the inventory. I didn't sleep that night, and maybe 20 minutes I slept, and then we opened at like 10 a.m. it was.
And what's the response? So you open up, this is your first day, and people...
I downloaded Square on my way to the event. Like, I didn't even know how I was going to process payment. That's how down to the wire we were. All cash.
We take nickels.
I just wanted to sell one piece of clothes. I literally, that's all I wanted to do. But, we sold out of almost everything.
Wow.
And then, we had to keep going back to like where we had the inventory in, my apartment and like in storage. So my friends during the day would like get more stuff and then come back. And We killed it on the first day.
So it just, you kept selling, like people kept buying.
Yes. It was overwhelming. It was everything had come full circle, I guess.
So was it like relief, joy? Were you starting to get nervous? You're like, oh no, this is working.
The thing that nobody tells you is all you want to do is get to the finish line. Like for making this truck, I just wanted to do it. I just wanted to do it like an open. I never thought about that second day or what, you know, what would be beyond it. I just wanted to get there. So once it was done, it was like, oh my God, this is a living, breathing thing. Now what?
Right.
And I hadn't really, to be honest, thought a ton about it because it was just such a hurdle to get there that I couldn't let myself be overwhelmed by what it would all be about.
And one of the, I think, compelling parts of your story and one of the big reasons why we wanted to talk to you is because you didn't just quit your day job and say, this is my dream and I'm going to chase it. Mm-hmm. How have you managed to work that day job and do this? Whereas some people, I think they don't see that as an option.
Yeah.
They're either all in one way or the other.
I think it's so important to know, like, baby steps are what it's all about. And, like, calculated risk, that's the biggest thing. Like, it's not calculated for me to totally walk away from what's a really good thing to go do this full time. And at the end of the day, like, if you're pursuing your passion, you don't want to resent it. And what's going to make you resent it? Oh, I can't pay my bills because of it. Oh, I need to do this. Like, what made it sane to me was the fact that I didn't want to resent this, and all this had to be for now was a hobby. It did not have to be a full-time job.
If you want to find out more about Truck Shop, see photos, and figure out where Ashley is going to be next, go to facebook.com/shopthetruck, or she's on Twitter @shopthetruck. All right, so in this next segment, Steve and I share our fashion stories, and I have to warn you, the ending is beyond ridiculous, even by our standards, so I'm sorry. Ish.
So, Steven, any fashion-forward stories for me?
Not fashion. I have a fashion-backward story.
Okay, perfect.
I teach at the University of Cincinnati. I don't know if I've mentioned that on any of our podcasts.
I think every one of them.
Every single time, I think. And I teach communication. So one day I was talking about nonverbal communication, and I, you know, lots of stuff makes up nonverbals, clothing, all that good stuff. And I was asking my students just for some examples of how nonverbal communication works and how clothing communicates things and et cetera, et cetera. And one of my students raised her hand, and I called on her, and she said, yeah, it's like how you wear dad jeans. you know, it communicates that you're old.
Dad jeans.
Yeah, dad jeans. And the kicker is I'm not even a dad. Right. So it stung like twice.
Yeah.
And
what did you say? What was your verbal communication back to her?
I got really, it was really bizarre because I got really like sad.
Really? In that moment?
It actually kind of messed me up. I mean, in the moment I got, I don't know, maybe embarrassed or something. But then like after class, I felt really sad about it because, oh, thank you for your sympathy. Because I was, you know, I'm still fairly young, but, you know, I was, I think I was married at the time, maybe newly married. And, you know, I still had that, like, I liked when students thought I was attractive and funny and had little crushes on me. And I still felt like I was in their generation and was young. And it was the first time I really felt old, like older than my students, that they saw me not as like their buddies, but as like their dad. And so I had a couple days there where I got really depressed. I threw out all my jeans.
You threw them out?
I really did.
You didn't even go, like, donate them to, like, a dad out there who would want perfectly fine jeans?
No. I couldn't stand to be around them any longer. So I threw out all my jeans, and I went. And now look at my jeans. Huh?
Yeah, they look like a young dad.
Yeah. Like a hip dad.
Yeah, like some of that, you know, got his girlfriend pregnant in college or something.
Right. And so I really, it helped me change the way I think about jeans. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah. Now, you're much more of a fashion-forward guy than I am, so you must have started some trend somewhere along the way.
I think I did, actually. There's too many of those stories, so I'll tell you. I'll tell you, fashion is basically how I ended up with my beautiful wife, Leah.
Really?
Yep.
Because you were fashionable?
Yes.
Wow.
Do you want to hear how?
Yeah, I'd love to. I've always wondered how you ended up with Leah, so I'm excited to find out.
We met way back in the day. I think I was either a freshman or a sophomore in high school, and I went to her church as a visitor, and I came into that like youth group situation on a Wednesday night rocking green tennis shoes. I had green shoes that I wore, and I liked the fact that they were weird, and people always said, why are you wearing green tennis shoes?
And this was back in the day when mostly people wore white or black.
White or black was the only color of shoe people were wearing. I had green, and she noticed my green tennis shoes. And, like, not physically, but nonverbal communication-wise, threw herself at me.
Really?
Not really, but she will tell the story that she remembers my green tennis shoes and talked about it to her friends about how this dashing new kid came to church with green tennis shoes.
So fashion is the reason for your happiness.
Completely.
Isn't it weird? Don't you ever think about just how weird it is that what if you wouldn't have worn those shoes? What if you just would have worn a pair of white tennis shoes? Would you be married to Leah?
I mean, probably in the end, my it's hard to keep in this much.
I know something's coming.
This much just attractiveness and charm, like, would have found its way out of my body into her.
You might want to phrase that differently. Out of your body, into her soul.
Into her soul.
Into her heart and mind.
Yeah, it was probably inevitable. But in the multiverse, somewhere at the same time, that version of me may have been wearing purple tennis shoes. Yeah. And who knows, that version of Leah maybe doesn't like purple tennis shoes. And in that world, we're not together.
Is Leah's favorite color green?
No.
What is her favorite color?
Leah's favorite color is, I don't know.
So how do you know it's not green?
I think she looks really great in all colors, but especially I think yellows. But I don't think yellow's her favorite color. Her favorite color is probably blue or something, right?
Blue or something.
She may not have a favorite color.
You should find out.
I'll ask her.
Okay.
Let me call her right now. Ring, ring, ring.
Hello?
Leah, what's I'm talking here with Steve. What?
Yeah, I like Steve.
What's your favorite color?
Oh, well, there's lots of colors. I remember those green tennis shoes you were wearing that one time.
Yeah, I was just talking to Steve about that. That's so funny you mentioned
that. Yeah, and so maybe green.
Hey, I got to run. You sound weird. This is a bad connection, so I'll talk to you later.
Oh, I love you.
So weird. So dumb.
That's the kind of thing where literally no one would find it entertaining, but to me it's the most entertaining thing I've done all week.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks for press and play. My name is Brad Wise. My co-host is Professor Steve Fuller. Thanks to Jim Zartman of Talkie Records for making all of our music. Thanks to Ashley for talking truck shop with us. And if you haven't subscribed yet to the podcast, you should, and you can via iTunes. If you're anywhere close to Cincinnati, you should also get tickets to the four-letter word show KISS coming on February 13th. Go to rebelstorytellers.com. You can see all of our blogs, events, past episodes, and more. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, keep creating.